You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
1 Kings 18. Tonight, this is what I call a filler night. Last week was filler. We were in the book of Proverbs. And next week is a special occasion and a message that will be brought to us. And then the following week, we'll begin in the book of Galatians. It's a great book, 6 chapters. And if you have a time, if you could read it, it is located in Turkey. And just like Colossae was located in Turkey, a very important area what God's going to use in the great tribulation time. But tonight we find ourselves, we're going to rove a little bit tonight. You may want to, I normally don't ask you to take notes, but you may want to take some notes on this tonight. And I hope that you'll think about that. I want to say tonight that life is wonderful.
Amen.
I love life. When we were teenagers, we'd sing, "It's a wonderful, wonderful life. When you know the Lord above, it's a wonderful life." I'm loving life. I hope I've loved it my entire life. I want it to love every segment of my life. I can say I loved high school. I can say I loved college. I can say I loved dating and getting married and having children and coming here. And now it's been a long ministry, and I've loved this. I love it. I love life. I don't have to set alarm in the morning. I'm up. I'm ready to go every single day of my life. It's exciting living life. I'm grateful God's allowed me to live. I think about many of my college buddies that went into the ministry, and many of them passed away already. And on the other side, and God's allowed me to be here and to stay with you. And I just love life. I love right now where we're at. My wife and I, all these many years. And Tiffany, who is going to be married 25 years in February, she has been out of our home a lot longer than she was in our home. Sister Tabitha, out of our home longer than she was in our home. And Brother Tim, he was there too long. But Brother Tim's been out 15 years. And adult prior, of course, to that, and just sort of lived there. But we're enjoying just the two of us right now, all these many years. Every segment has to be enjoyed. I want you to know, by way of introduction tonight, life is filled with a lot of high moments. I can remember distinctly 68 years ago, 15 minutes from here, when I got saved this fall. I remember all about that night. I remember where I was seated. I remember being by my dad. I remember walking that aisle. I remember Mrs. Viva Morningstar leading me to Christ. I remember talking to the preacher at the front. He had Viva come. I remember we sat in these two little rows in our choir loft, just small, maybe a dozen chairs or so. And the lanterns were glowing. We had no electricity in that little building. I remember that that was a wonderful high moment in my life. How about when you got saved? You remember that day? Wasn't it great? My sister, who's with the Lord, she got saved in the backyard of our house up on an apricot tree. I'm so glad that I've been saved. You know, everything, really, I've had a wonderful life. School has been wonderful. Although I didn't like school, I did like some things about it. College was wonderful. Marriage has been wonderful. Children. When my wife told me we were going to have children, in 6 months and 6 years and 11 months to the day, God gave us Tiffany, then God gave us Brother Tim, and then God gave us Sister Tabitha. And we love our kids, just love our kids and our grandkids. And they're, quite frankly, all 14. I'd take the grandkids over the kids any day. Had a lot of high moments. We dedicated this building August 20th, 2006. We walked from that property to this property, Brother Whitlow. It was, and then the Spanish were coming from this property, going to go seize that property, and we were going to seize this property. That was quite a day. Ladies in high heels, shoes walking right down the middle. The police had the streets all blocked off. It was a wonderful time. Dedicating these buildings. I remember we got this property. I can remember sitting in, girls, there's about four of you that are all in the same office there. That was a conference room. And I sat there and I'll never forget it. And when he said, well, how much can you pay? And I said, we can give you a dollar for 16 months. And when Mr. Yates, he may be watching tonight, and his wife, when he said, that'll be enough, that'll be okay, he let us have this property for $1. And then he said, well, how are you gonna finance it 16 months from now? I said, I'll ask you to be the financier. And he said, we'll do that. I just, you talk about high moments. We've had them. COVID was a high moment. It seemed like it was such a bad moment, but I love looking back on COVID. I love the honking of the horns when you preached, and I was up in that stadium, and we would sing, and you'd turn the radio on, the cars just lined up through all the parking lots, and people down the street couldn't much see over here, and it was exciting. Just, we were out there during Christmas time, had all those Christmas trees and the old tractor out there. It was just an amazing time what God did during COVID. He turned the curse into the blessing. So many high moments. But with every high moment comes some low moments. You know, it's amazing in life. I think about maybe you've had the loss of a job. That's a low moment. What are you going to do? How are you going to pay for your family? How are you going to take care of things? And they have some folks in this church that have lost their job. There's been cutbacks. I think of illnesses that have affected some of our families. And people are in hospitals tonight, and people are on cancer treatments, and those are low moments. I think of financial reversals, and they come all the time. I think of how there are some huge disappointments in life. I think how there's disappointments sometimes with our own family. As families get older, and maybe a sister hasn't talked to you in years, or maybe a brother hasn't talked to you in years. One of the sweet texts I received this week said our children are grown adults now. They haven't talked to us in years. From a distant state. That breaks my heart to think there's a mom and dad who love God, who are praying that our children, our grown children who have children, would call us, would let us back into their lives. I think how some grandparents are not permitted to see their grandkids. The daughter-in-law, their son-in-law, the son or the daughter have said, no, we don't want you around our kids. We don't want that God. And yet they were brought up in Christian homes. A lot of lows in lives, aren't they? I want you to see briefly tonight the highs and lows. There can't get to them all. Here's a high in 1 Kings chapter number 18, where Elijah, verse 17, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? You talk about a high moment. He answered, I've not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house. He said, no, you're wrong. The contest begins, and they're going to have the contest where they choose out verse 25, and they're going to, a bullock, and they're going to dress it, and they're going to call them their gods, and they're going to, and Elijah begins to make fun. Look at verse 27. Let's read 27 together. Verse 26, he says, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, neither answer, and they leaped upon the altar that was made. Verse 27, ready, begin. And it came to pass at noon. And they cut themselves in with lancets. Oh, but then Elijah said, okay, all right. Verse number 30, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. All the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the 12 the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar, a great, it would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces. And he said, bring on water and fill the four barrels with water. And he said, do it the second time. And they did the second. And he said, do it the third time. And they did the third. And the water ran. If you're going to start a fire, you don't put water on the fire. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, verse 37. And let the people know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned the heart back again. And you know the story. Fire came down from heaven. You talk about a high moment, chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel, the king told his wife, all that Elijah had done. And Jezebel sent messengers unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do unto me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and he went for his life. And he came to Beersheba and he sat under, verse 4, a juniper tree. And he requested of God that he might die. And he said, be good to take away my life. Am I not better than my father's? How do you go from chapter 18, I'm on the winning side, woo, this is great, to chapter 19? You know, we are so frail. In life, we ought to always be careful. I'm not saying you have a big celebration and there's a big party or whatever it is, and the next day, okay, you know, they come in threes. Well, what's going to happen now? I'm not talking like that at all. But that's the way God grows us often. And Elijah saw his frailty. And Elijah's going to have to get alone with God. And God's going to have to prepare him some more. And God's going to have to use this situation because Elisha's going to be called now. And another man's going to come on the scene. And Elijah, at a time when he should have been strong, was weak. I find that when we have big moments, we also are faced with sad moments. May I say, just for the sake of time, I won't turn you there right now. I mentioned this on Sunday night in a different message, but in 1 Samuel 17, here is David and Goliath. You talk about a great victory. But from chapter 17 and now in chapter 27, he fought the Philistines. Now he's going to join the Philistines. There is nothing better for me to do than to speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. And David said in his heart, he said that in his heart, he said, I'm going to die. And he went after the Philistines. He said, I want to join your army. How do you go from defeating Goliath and the Philistines to joining? We're weak. We're frail in life. Some of you get to the point, we all do, where you're climbing higher, you're going higher, you're walking with God, things are looking good, and all of a sudden you get derailed and we quit on God. I'll never understand that one. When you get ready to quit on God, or quit on the house of God, that's when you need the house of God and God more.
Amen.
The devil's convinced you, well, all these troubles are happening to me. How about if you think about this here in Acts chapter 3? Turn there quickly, please, at Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went up together to the temple to the hour of prayer. A certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, and they laid daily at the gate of the temple called Beautiful to ask alms of them. Peter fastened his eyes upon him, and John, look on us. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength and leaping up. And he entered into the temple, good place to go, walking and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. But would you look at chapter 4? It grieved, verse 2, them, these Sadducees and these priests. It grieved them that they taught the people and preached through Jesus, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold till the next day. Here they had a high followed by a low. Remember Peter and John in chapter 12? Chapter 11, they had a great revival. The Bible said the city came out in chapter 11. The city came out and great things and many believed. And you talk about a revival. But chapter 12, Herod the Tetrarch, he took James, the brother John, And he beheaded James, the brother of John, the Bible said. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he took Peter also. And he scourged him, and he beat him, and he stoned him, and he cast him to prison. But the Bible says in chapter 12, verse 5, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God on behalf of him. And he was in prison sleeping, and God woke him up, and he walks out of that prison, and he goes, and Rhoda answers the door, and she said, Oh my goodness. And she came back to the prayer warriors. Peter's at the door. And they said, you're mad, young teenage girl. You're mad. You're crazy. But he walks in. They had some highs and they had some lows. I think throughout the entire Word of God, Abraham had some highs in chapter 11 and in chapter 12. God says, up, get you from your father's house into a land that I'll show thee. He had no idea where he was going. God had him on a trail for 700 miles. And see if I'll make of thee a great nation. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And all in thee shall all the nations, are we listening, Mr. Biden? And all in thee shall all the nations of the world be blessed. I'll curse them that curse you. I'll bless them that bless you. You talk about great things in chapter 12, chapter 13. And Lot, there was division, be the queen, the herdsmen of Lot's and Abraham's herdsmen. And Abraham said, let there be no division in our family. You want the right hand, you take all those fields, you take all that land, you take all that. If you don't want that, you like this, you take this, I'll take what's ever left over. And Uncle Abraham said, you make the decision. And Lot chose the well-watered plain. And Lot not only chose the well-watered plain, he said, I want to be near that city, Sodom. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And every morning they got up, and his wife and children, they got up and stretched and looked into the city of Sodom. But the Bible says the men of Sodom were wicked before the Lord exceedingly. And he said, I'm going to point my family in the direction of sin. You be careful where you point your family. You be careful where you place your family. And then he went from there, and he went into Sodom, the Bible says. And then he sat in the gate. That is a political position he held in the city. And Abraham's interceding for his boy. You talk, his nephew that became his boy. You talk about great moment, a great nation, a great defeat. I get where I'm going and we'll be done. Noah, for 120 years, he obeyed God and built an ark. Now the ark settled. And the first thing he did, he went out and got drunk. Defeat. How in the world do we go from great, great miracles to great, great defeat? Great, great victories to great, great failures? Jonah, God raised him up in chapter 3. He preached the greatest revival known to man. Over 600,000 people came back to God. But in chapter 4, the next chapter, he sits under a tree and a gourd, and he said, God, just kill me. Just kill me. I don't even want to live. Great moment, great defeat. I think of how so many times we see so many great things happen, follow. Why the testing? One, and I'm almost done. Much of the testing is because of our own foolishness. Much of the testing we face is because of our own foolishness. I choose to drink liquor, let's say, and get behind the wheel of my car and drive my car inebriated. And there's an accident. Guess what? You say, why would God, why, I don't understand all this pressure that God's putting me under. God didn't put you under that pressure. Our sin did. We choose to do wrong and we blame it on God. I don't understand. I can't pay my bills. I can't pay my bills. God didn't do that. We created the bills. And if we're not careful, the first night I dated, I won't go through the whole story, but I'd been working for Berea Baptist Church for my father-in-law, who wasn't my father-in-law, for about a year. And in February, it was about the anniversary of working there a year. It was an ice storm that night. And I said to Cindy, I want you to go to meet the First National Bank. Her dad was paying me $25 a week, and I had to get that money in the bank because I needed that money to pay my school bill. And I said, I got to get to the bank. And we're going to the car and to the bank. And she said, am I in trouble? And I said, no. And she said, well, then why do you want me to be with you? She really didn't like me, and I didn't like her. But I knew she was after me. And that night, we went to the bank. I brought her back to the parsonage. And I got in the car. Woo! You talk about my heart was beating so fast. I was on fire. I just had a date to the bank for $25 with the most beautiful young girl. Sweet girl. Played the piano in the church. Oh, my goodness, this is great. I started out Riverside Boulevard, turn left on Owen Center Road. And as soon as you get on Owen Center Road, you're basically right almost immediately, you're in the country. And that's just one of our deacons, no problem. And and going down Owen Center Road, and there was ice, and I wasn't driving 100 miles an hour. I wasn't driving 50 miles an hour. I was probably driving 35, but that car was fishtailing all over the place, trying to hold that thing on the road. And I was praising God and shouting and singing and having the time of my life. And I passed a guy. I should have never done it. On that little two-lane road, he was going probably 20 miles. I passed him probably 30, 35 miles an hour. And he's honking the horn and flashing the lights at me. Well, I'm driving down that road, and at the end, it goes downhill. And in ice, you pick up speed. And then there's a big guardrail there because there's another highway. And I saw what was going to happen, and it happened. And I went flying down that road and down that, your daughter lives right by that place, Brother Mike Kirby. Lauren and Shalite, they live just right down the road from that. And I saw what was going to go. I was going head on, and I hit that thing head on. I hit my head, knocked me out. I was there. A few minutes later, I was coming to, and this guy's he's flashing his lights at me, same guy. Never stopped to see if I was okay. Oh, my goodness. Why'd God do that to me? God didn't do that to me. The stupid California driver did it to me. I did it to myself. Why do we blame God on some of the foolish decisions we make? Here's a high moment, and then we're followed by a low moment. We didn't think. I find, secondly, that many times they're not personally sent testing, but many times they're people sent. You ever hear of David's son Absalom? Families can be cruel. And don't read it. We love our family. I'm not talking about our family. But I've pastored long enough. I've watched a lot of cruel families. They won't talk to one another. This brother won't talk to this brother. This brother was in business, and I'm not in this church here I'm thinking about now. This brother was in business with this brother, and they were in business 20 years, and then there was a falling out, and they both started their own business, and they're competitors now, and they don't like one another, and they'll take accounts from one another, and the families are destroyed. You know, some of our testing is personally sent, and some is people sent. Jacob had 10 sons. But those 10 sons lied for 20 years to their dad. They put their brother in bondage for 20 years. I think of how not only are they trials sent to us because of our foolishness or because of people, but sometimes it's sin that sends us our trials. We decide to sin, but there's always consequences. Psalm 51, David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this iniquity in my heart. God gets credit for a lot of the bad things. Turn with me in closing to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. In 2 Corinthians 12, some of our lows God sends to help us in our life. Notice what chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians says. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. That thorn in the flesh, verse number 7, chapter 12, let's read verse 7. Ready? 2 Corinthians 12, 7. Ready? Begin. And lest I should be exalted above measure, Paul said, God sent this to me. God sent this, lest I be exalted. Lest I put confidence in me. He knew five languages. He was a great speaker. He had great power. He had great position. He had authority before his salvation. And Paul said, God sent this to me. Nothing ever touches me, but it's been first filtered through the hand of a loving God. All my fiery trials are father filtered. And he had a thorn in the flesh, and God chose to give him that thorn in the flesh. Verse number 8, for this thing besought I the Lord thrice, three times, that it may be depart from me. And he said unto me, verse number 9, ready, begin. My grace is sufficient for thee. In our lives, high moments. Perhaps you're going through a high moment. Well, then there's some low moments too. It could be because your own doing. You got in the situation because your own decisions, and there's consequences. Or it could become somebody else did something, and they stole from you, or they lied to you, or they put you in bondage, or some trial, or some hurt, or they blasted you on the internet. Or it could be because of some sin in our life, and we said, I don't care what the consequence, I'm going to do this. Or it could be that God sent it. And God says, I want this for your good. Verse 10 says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. I can tell you, close my Bible, let you know that we're done. Life is wonderful. It's a wonderful life. But it goes like this a lot. Don't create the downtime. Don't let others take the joy of the Lord. But as God sent this thorn in the flesh to the Apostle Paul, he said, I'm going to glory in this. This is good. It's for my good. Let's stand together, please. Our Father, may we not quit church. May we not quit on family. May we not quit on the Bible or upon you. God, may we enjoy the journey of life. Some songwriter said, I'm too near my heavenly home to turn back now. May our folks just keep faithful, serving you. Bless each member here tonight, each guest, there's so many. I thank you for everyone. And God, as trials come in our life, as good moments come in our life, may we be humble enough to realize that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Bless these dear folks is my prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Would you come forward right now if you want to just pray about something, if you want to meet the Lord about something tonight.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.